you could go back to the end of February, and the readings for the Sundays preceding today's readings, the 11th and 12th Sundays in Ordinary Time, the emphasis of those readings is, again, the call to love. To love God with our whole hearts, our whole minds, our whole sides, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and especially to love not only those who love us, but to love our enemies. And Jesus sort of raised that today to sort of to be the level of discipleship. If you want to be a disciple and to follow him, then you must walk in the ways of love. In our first reading, we have the passing on of the role of prophet from Elijah to Elisha. And what is really significant about this is Elijah was sort of a real Old Testament prophet in the sense of he prophesied sort of a lot of gloom and doom. That if you didn't follow God, that you were going to be destroyed, that you were going to be, that God was going to come and he was going to burn you up, that you were going to gnash in the fires of hell, that, you know, your life would be destroyed. But in the role of Elisha, we started to see a new form in the role of the prophet. And the prophet's so much not preaching gloom and doom if you don't follow God, but rather more of what it's going to bring to you if you do follow God. That God will give you a land of milk and honey, that he will be with you. And no matter whatever happens, that God will be with you to get it through, and you will be able to sting. And so rather we start seeing rather than a God who's going to be there and to get you if you do wrong, to destroy you, rather than a God who's there who's going to protect you and watch over and be with you. And we see this sort of played out in the gospel. As Jesus is getting ready to go to Jerusalem, and he's beginning his journey to what's going to be his eventually death, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. He's on his way, and so he sends out his disciples to various towns to sort of get ready for his coming to stay for a night on his journey. And they get to a Samaritan town, and the Samaritans find that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and they say, I'm sorry, he's just not welcome here. He has to walk around the town. He can't come through it. And this sort of goes back to the whole history of the Jewish people and the Samaritan Jewish people. And it seems like, you know, that the history is that, you know, before the people were led into slavery, is that there were two temples. There was a temple in Jerusalem, but there was also a temple in Samaria. And so the thing is that the people in Samaria, the Samaritans, thought it was okay to be able to go and to worship God at their temple in Samaria. But the other Jews said, when they came back, said, no. If you want to really worship God, you have to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the only temple that you can really worship God. It's like saying if you really want to go to Mass, you have to go to Tiffin, Fostoria, or New Regal. You surely can't come to Kansas St. James. And so there was a great, you know, sort of hatred, anger. The Samaritans didn't like the Jews because they didn't accept that they could worship, you know, in Samaria. And the Jews didn't, you know, the rest of the Jews didn't like the Samaritans because they wouldn't come to Jerusalem to, you know, to worship God. And so as the disciples come back and tell Jesus, well, we were Samaritans, and they said, you know, you can't come there. Should we rain down fire and damnation? Sort of the Old Testament God. The old theory of God. That God is going to destroy those who, you know, do harm to us. Those who do not support us. Those who do not follow us and believe in us. That God is going to destroy and rain down. And we hear that Jesus says, he rebukes them. We're not quite sure what he says. But the thing was, he doesn't believe in bringing down fire and damnation. He says, we'll go to another town. He lets them and leaves them be. St. Paul, in his reading, tells us, you know, that there's sort of a real battle, a challenge between the flesh and the spirit. And I think, you know, that we sort of see that not so much anymore in flesh and spirit, but in the struggles that we have between good and evil. Between doing good and doing evil. From following Jesus and following what is right and loving and kind, to rather than the challenge of sometimes to be mean, vengeful, unforgiving, even to the point of being hateful. And that is sort of the challenge that we live in today's world. To sort of to be the person to follow Christ, to be positive, to be loving, compassionate, forgiving, to really walk in the ways of Jesus, and not to sort of turn away from the ways of the devil, from the ways of the flesh and the ways of the world, which lead us to evil thoughts, evil deeds, to treating people not nicely, harshly, hatefully. And so then we come to the second part of the gospel, in which, you know, Jesus, you know, says, so a couple of people come and say, okay, you know, come and follow me. I want to follow you. But Jesus reminds them, you know, I don't have a home. I have no place. So if you follow me, it's going to sort of be unknown. What he's really saying is that, you know, when you follow Jesus, you know, your path is not going to be certain. It's not going to be set. It's going to change from day to day. It'll be there. And in the other part of the gospel, I don't know about you, but it always sort of disturbs me because it seems like Jesus is sometimes just a very caring. He says, I'll follow you, Jesus, but first of all, I have to go and I have to sit there and bury my father. Now, of course, you know, when you hear that, you think, well, the guy's father must have died. But no, the point is, I said his father is probably very elderly. He's probably going to die very soon, is what he's going to say. He said, let me go back and be with my father till he dies, and after I, you know, after I bury him, then I'll come and follow you. And Jesus says, you know, if you do that, you know, you're not really fit to be my follower. Because what's happening is that, you know, something's become more important. And that's sort of the whole message of our readings today. Is that, you know, is that when we set Jesus as our priority, which as his disciples we are called to do, that following God, following Jesus, is to be our priority. Is to be what's more important. And the thing is that Jesus knows that if we do that, that when everything else happens, we see everything else in light of that. And we're able to handle it and to deal with it. So when we have a loved one who dies, when we have something that doesn't quite go our way, we know that, you know, God and Jesus is with us and we will be able to get through that. And somehow it doesn't throw us. It doesn't get us away. What Jesus is saying is that, you know, have him and His way as your guiding light, as what really directs you. And everything else will sort of fall into place. And you will find peace and joy and happiness, even in the midst of difficulties and trials. You know, I have a part-time job where I do some driving. And it's non-emergency medical transportation. So I spend a lot of time on the road. I spend a lot of time in the big cities. Toledo, Columbus, Cleveland. Every once in a while, Dayton. And you know, it always noticed to me how few today, now how many people you have sort of forgotten what a turn signal is. You know, you're sitting here coming up and they're going to make a turn or whatever, they slow down, and you almost come in and hit them with that because, you know, they don't use a turn signal. And you come to ask yourself, why do you use a turn signal? Do you use a turn signal because it's the law? And that if you turn, a policeman sees you, you don't use a turn signal, you're subject to a fine? Or do you use your turn signal because it's sort of a common courtesy? It's a way in which, you know, you let other people know what you're doing so that they can be ready. So that they can know, so that they can prepare themselves that you're going to turn, you're going to slow down, and have a time to react. Well, you know, the thing is, if you care about other people, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you're probably going to use your turn signal. It's going to become a very common practice. But if you're sort of the ways of flesh and really don't care, and I'm only doing it because it's the law, I may or may not use my turn signal. I guess it's sort of up to how I feel to do that. You're in a store, and there's an individual in front of you, and they drop a $20 bill. And they start walking away. You say to yourself, they just dropped a $20 bill. I can pick that up because nobody else is around. Or I can pick that up, go and give it to them. What's your first reaction? Because your first reaction is going to really say if you're a disciple of Christ. Because if you're a disciple of Christ, you're going to sit there and you're going to pick that $20 bill and you're going to go find him and you're going to give it back and say, here, you dropped it. Or you find a wallet with money in it. You're going to take it to the police station with all the money in it. Or find out whose it is. If you're aware of the flesh, you're going to sit there and say, geez, this is an opportunity. Maybe I came back to Buffalo, but first of all, I'm going to take all the money out of it. I mean, they lost it. Finders keepers, right? The thing is, if we strive to be disciples of Christ, it shows in how we deal with other people. It shows in how we live our life. That we're always going to strive to try to do good, to be loving, kind, forgiving. And it's going to show in how we react and how we deal with people. And we, not only we, but others will be able to see that, especially our children, our grandchildren, and our family. And so too, but if we are in the ways of the flesh, if we only go to church when we have to, if we only pray when we really have to, if we only sit there and really turn to God when things are really down and out, others are going to see that. And they've got to come and realize is that, well, you know, Jesus may be important, but he's really not that important. He's not part of our everyday life. He's not one we really strive to follow. Only when it's convenient. As today we are called to be his disciples, we look at our life, our discipleship. does our life, you know, really portray that we are striving to be like Jesus, to walk in his ways of love, compassion, forgiveness, and understanding in everything we do? And that when people meet us and see us, they feel good because somehow they've met somebody who has touched their life in a positive way. Or so often, when some people meet us, that we touch them in a very negative way. Let us pray and ask God to truly be his disciples, to walk in his way, and to show him to our family, our friends, and the community in which we live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.